our celebration of Pentecost is rapidly approaching. We'll be on the 19th, 20th, 21st of this month. And I thought it appropriate that we take a look and see really what did happen in Pentecost. So go to Acts 2. We lost Gary.
Yeah, he's probably a good worker out
there. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now, that one sentence is what drove me to the understanding of the feasts. Because even in this, freshman Greek, it says when the day of Pentecost was fulfilled. And so after a brief kind of overview of the feast, you could see that that feast could not have been fulfilled unless the others were fulfilled. It had to be the last feast in the calendar to be fulfilled in order to meet what the meaning of Pentecost was. So that's what drove everything, finding out that Christ was conceived by the Holy Spirit on the eighth day of the Feast of Hanukkah. He was born on the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah. He was baptized on the Feast of Yom Kippur. He was transfigured and turned the water into wine on the Feast of Tabernacles. He was crucified on the Feast of Passover, buried on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He kept the Sabbath perfectly, only once in history, in the grave. He rose from the dead on the Feast of First Fruits, and his spirit was shed on all flesh on the Feast of Pentecost. And as you know, Pentecost and Passover, really they're all one, there's just one feast, but these eight or so feasts are all chronicles, so they show us a different revelation or a revelation that's apprehendable of Jesus Christ. And that's all the feasts do. They show us a revelation of Jesus Christ. It's finished. It's cosmically finished. It's more finished than you could ever dream of being finished. And that's what that says. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, was fulfilled, they were all with one accord in one place. And they were in the temple. They were at the court, at the column of Boaz. We know exactly where they are, or they were. Because, and it relates directly to what we just read at Purim. Right? Huh?
We're going to read it.
Oh, yeah, excuse me. I'm sorry. The Book of Ruth at Pentecost. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the temple where they were sitting. Now there was the sound of the mighty wind, but there was no wind. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat down upon each of them. There was the appearance of fire, but no fire. And they were in the temple they had to be, because if they were not in the temple on this day, they would have been cut off from the people. They were in the court of women, or in the porch of the court of women going up to the court of Israel, and all hell broke loose. Remember, there was a price on their heads. They all had to face this thing about whether or not they were going to be connected to this Jesus of Nazareth, or whether they were going to And so they're trying to be very inconspicuous. Most of these people were Galileans. And you remember that there's nothing good that can come out of Galilee. They made fun of them because they couldn't pronounce the words right. It was a whole mind-blowing thing that happened here. So they're trying to be inconspicuous, faced with this choice between being cut off from the people and fulfilling not only what the law said, but what Jesus said. He told them to tarry a while in Jerusalem until a promise on high cometh. So then, as they're trying to be very inconspicuous, not draw any attention to themselves, eternity opens up. And what the fire they saw was the flaming swords of the cherubim that are guarding this mystery of God in Genesis 3. And they saw the fire from these flaming swords, which nothing can penetrate. And they heard this incredible noise. It was the wind of eternity that was had broken through time and sat on these 120 people that were trying to be inconspicuous. What the hell is that? Can you get the picture a little bit? We're going to study this more and more for the next 2 weeks, but right now we're going to go and see what Peter said, because everybody thought they were drunk because they were starting to speak in other tongues. They didn't speak in other tongues like gibberish. There were people from every single nation where the Jews were that were there, and they came back on this year because this was the year of Jubilee when the lands were returned. So they all came back to the feast for very selfish reasons. Because the Jubilee year, all the ancestral lands went back to the... And so, what happened? And this is what... And they thought they were drunk, because they were...
So can I say, this was not glossolalia, this was actually other languages when they said tongues here, right?
Right. Well, glossolalia is that. But what glossolalia isn't is the gibberish of people like Robert Tilton and other people. Like, come on, da ba 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 ba. It's not you just sitting there speaking gibberish. It has a sentence structure. You may not know what the language is, but if your tongue speaking is like just repeating a monosyllabic syllables, you're an idiot. It's not from God. It's from your mind trying to act like you've been had an experience with God. Does that make sense to you? You don't even have to go that far. It's just your mind is faking it, which is a child of the God of this world. They were, and anyway, it says they were all these people. If you go verse 9 and 10 and 11, and then it says, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Because they were hearing the mystery of God in their own language. Then Peter. Now Peter was this ignorant fisherman who scholars have said what he said in the next few verses here was probably the most perfectly designed speech that has ever been given as a argument or as a presentation of the mystery of God to that audience. So what happened? Well, let's look. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea and all you that are dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my voice or to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. And the third hour of the day was what?
9 a.m.
9 a.m.
That's an interesting way to say they're not drunk. Because it means...
it would be logical to think that they would be drunk.
Right.
But it's too early. They don't drink that early.
Right.
Right.
Give them a couple more hours.
Yeah.
Unless they work at TI.
I mean, you didn't say they don't.
These
know,
don't drink. No, they ever. That's, yeah.
Bus driver. Give them a couple hours.
But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now let's go there. So we read exactly what Joel said. Go to Joel 2:28. And Joel is like Daniel, Hosea, Amos, Joel. Or Joel, Amos. It's there in the Minor Prophet guys. What? Joel, that was such a cheap shot right there. That was really low.
Why did you acknowledge it?
I've just repented for acknowledging it. You can kill Carolyn didn't hear either. Because you called him Bojo.
Wasting disk space.
Okay, chapter 2, verse 28. And this is what Peter said. This is what was happening then is what Joel prophesied. Help our Bible scholar find Joel.
No, Bible scholars can't read the print.
Oh, okay. And it shall come to pass afterward, or in the last day, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants, or my servants is what it says, and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Come. Now, again, it shall come to pass in those days, at this time, the sun darkened at 3 p.m., the beginning of the last day, the moon shone at that time, because it was, remember, Passover is the full moon, when the sun is dark, the moon shows, and I promise you, that moon looked like that it had blood dripping from it. So all this was fulfilled in this, what we call Passover, at the beginning of the counting of the Omer, or at the crucifixion, at Passover. And this is now, from Passover all the way to Pentecost, is considered one day, or one time, or in that time. So all of this was fulfilled at that time. And that's why Jesus said the night comes when no man can work. And the night came at his death. Anything to do by the human race was over at that point in time. And this is, it's in Isaiah, it's in Jeremiah, it's in Joel. But this is the most direct evidence. Now what modern idiots are saying is that we are coming into the last day revival. There is no last day revival. The last day, only thing that New Testament says about the last day is that it is a great apostasy, a great falling away, in order that finally the man of sin, the son of perdition, can be revealed. But all the prophecies, including this one, were fulfilled. So when they stood in that temple, and the Holy Spirit broke through time and space, and ripped it above each of these chosen ones. That was the end. The night had come, and now no man can work. This was the symbol that everything from that point forward had to originate from that sperma of God, or from the Spirit, the same Spirit that hovered over the waters and created the earth, now the same Spirit that hovered over Mary and birthed or conceived Christ in Mary, now that same Spirit came over the whole entire earth. And now that sperma of God is all in the best the human race can ever be. And until you fall into the ground and die and are joined to the egg of the New Jerusalem, you're just a sperm cell swimming around in a canal, trying to build cities, trying to do something, but it's all meaningless. And that's what the entire Bible says. The book is closed. Your warfare is over. It is done. Your warfare is over because you lost. And now that man of sin, the son of perdition, has been revealed. It's you who have set yourself up in the temple of God, showing yourself that you're God. You don't show anybody else. Everybody else thinks you're a fool. And now that's why the axe has been laid to the root of the tree. There's nothing left. And God, they believed for fear. And for some unknown reason, God requires now, when they sat down for fear, they were in fear. Now he wants us to believe for joy. But you can't believe for joy as long as you continue to pay attention to your mind and your emotions until you see that it's cosmically finished. I don't want to talk anymore. Any response? Do you really see it at the base of your being? Or is this a mental ascent? Go back, you know, on the seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles, which the 7 days symbolize linear time, on the evening or the just before the beginning or the dawn of the eighth day, which is that night, you read. What do you read? You read the book of Ecclesiastes. And vanity of vanities, all is vanity and vexation of spirit, chasing wind. Aren't you tired of chasing wind? Aren't you tired of creating universes in your mind that are just illusions? Aren't you tired of trying to achieve something and it's just crap when you get it? All you do is want more? Hear the word of what God is saying to us. Your warfare is over. You lost because you were an invented identity. It's not you. It's not your purpose. It's not why you were created. That's remedial Pentecost, what we just studied. It's not even Pentecost 101. But.
When did Joel live?
What do you have to ask questions like that?
What was your question?
800 B.C. Oh. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. Died on a Tuesday.
He died, I'll bet you something, like a lot of these guys. Remember when David died, all these guys died in Pentecost. A lot of guys died in Pentecost in the scriptures.
I like the way we can bring out little arcane details of the law and stuff. I love those things because it shows how God fulfills every jot and every tittle. And I was remembering you said that the reason there was 120 was that was what was required to start a new city.
Right. Well, a new community. A new thing. I mean, and it was literally 12 minions or 12 satyrs. And 12 was always the complete completion. It was the family was complete. That's what the meaning of it. And that's why you're 666666, the number of man. It's the number of all men, because no matter what you do, as long as you pay attention, you can never be at rest. You're continually. But rest isn't the goal. That rest is seven. That's what the Sabbath means. It's the mystery of the Sabbath. And the Sabbath isn't a day, it's Christ. And so, from our perspective, the goal isn't rest. The goal is eight. But you can't get to 8 without going through 7, and you can't go through 7 without dying. All of the ancient myths, all of the labors of Hercules, all of the ancient meanings of astrology, all said the same story. There's only one story going on in the universe. But now we think we got, well, what's your story? What are you thinking? What are you thinking about? Tell me what you think about that. Nobody gives a rat's ass what you think about it, nor nobody cares what I think about it. I could care less whether anybody believes me. But I promise you, if you have integrity, if you're still here, you better search the scriptures to see whether they think these things be true. I'm sure you're tired of hearing me too. Take it, big guy.
Did Abram cut the covenant on Pentecost?
No, he cut the covenant on Passover. Well, again, from our perspective, Passover and Pentecost are just one feast. But if you're really spiritual, then you can say today is Passover, today is Pentecost, today is Rosh Hashanah, today is the beginning, today is the end, because there is no time. All of them are in this time. That's why now is the only accepted time. And when you leave now in your brain to go backward or forward, then you have returned to the kingdom of darkness.
That's a flip. He was giving that up.
That was a false.
Take it, big guy, two.
That's a real ticket.
That was the third ticket.
It's
like reverse.
Are you counting?